From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's the return of Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man after a Christmas week off. We took some time off to spend with our family and cats and decided tonight was the best night to restart the rotation here on Tuesday night. So thank you guys for joining us, of course. My name is Shannon Young. I'm the Mr. 100 of the group, and I'm here with the Five-Star Man, my good friend and confidant, Asa Gray, down at the end of the table.
Yes.
We also have Allie, not actually a bear.
Hello.
To my right.
Yes.
I'm really kind of bummed that you jumped right into the show instead of like what you normally do where you do the moment of silence. Because I was going to do a bit.
Oh, after I paused?
Right.
Yeah, so...
But he took that away from me. He knew it was coming.
Before we get into the meat of the show, and we got some serious things to talk about tonight and some not so serious things to talk about, I want to give you an idea of how I do this. Because we've been doing this for almost 3 years now, and you would think that in the 3 years that we've done this, I would get better about this, and I still haven't. So whenever we start the show and we do the welcome to this and my name is this, I always have it planned out in my head exactly how I'm going to say it because I don't want it to be formal or uniform. But if you listen to Coast AM, George Norrie has his own intro. He does how he introduces the show. George Knapp introduces the show his own way. And I wanted to do that. I want to introduce the show my own way every time. So when people tune in and listen, they go, okay, this is Shannon hosting. I know his rhythm. But every time I start the show and I start to say from the heart of Broadway, I freeze up. I get nervous in a way. And then I just start like rambling. If you ever notice at the beginning of the show that I just make a random joke or I trail off, it's because I've frozen and I've gotten nervous and I can't do the thing that I've been planning to do the entire time. And it's very frustrating, but in some ways I feel like it also kind of lends charm to it.
Note cards.
No.
Just read.
No.
From the heart of Broadway.
No, I haven't.
Historic downtown Cape Girardeau.
I haven't memorized. Like whenever we do I Want to Believe, I want to open the show with the truth is out there and then say something from there. But the moment I start to say the truth is out there and everyone's looking at me, I feel like just a jackass. So then I'll make a joke or like play it off. And I've been doing that for 3 years and I'd like to just stick to the script. But.
Well, this is pro wrestling on script. Wait, no, it's not.
No, Dalton's not here. Dalton's not here. And the show is honestly worse for that. So you thought I was going to insult
him. Why are you doing that with your hand?
You got what? What? No. I'm not doing the Jason Bond motion. What are you talking about? So we got some things to talk about real quick. And before we get to that, I don't know if we ever mentioned this on Thursday, but I hope you guys had a great Christmas. We hope that you had a wonderful new year. And anything that happened in 2017 that you would like to forget, if you're starting a fresh slate, clean slate, if you're doing a tabula rasa, then we hope that you succeed in that, and I really hope 2018 is a great year for you.
I saw a thing on Twitter where it was like, I'm starting 2018 with an empty bank account. Clean slate. Like, oh, that's painful. But
and,
yes, no, yeah. We
and
like
relatable.
Just, you know, because everybody who... We don't know who you are, but we love you.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that we know.
There's some people we know.
There's a lot of people that we know who do listen to this, and we love them too. But
yes.
Like, who any of the people who've never actually like met us or know who we are outside of this show, like,
right.
we thank you for listening, and
yeah.
we very much appreciate you, and we do hope that you know you had a great New Year, you had a great holiday with your family and loved ones or
cats,
people that you like or animals. Yeah.
Just you're really getting the best of us on these shows, because outside of these shows, we're not great.
We all hate each other.
Yeah. Like
we don't speak.
No.
Never.
It's pretty sad. A lot of people don't expect this when they meet me in public, because I am very, I'm very welcoming. I'm very friendly, but I'm also very private. I'm very private, and a lot of times I'm very quiet, and people don't expect that from me, I think, because on this show I'm so loud and boisterous on occasion, but I'm a very private person outside of this show. Whereas opposed to Allie, who I believe is actually more, you know, open and loud outside of this show. You quiet down
possibly.
For the show.
Yeah. Possibly.
And I still think we should change the name of the show to Two Guys, a Girl, and a Podcast. Is
Sarah
that taken?
Approves.
Is that taken? Because that's just a
I'll
great
Google
name.
It.
I mean, it's
I
the.
Will Google it.
It's, I know it's the just the it's the
two girls,
sitcom.
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place, or
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Which is,
then just turned into. I think they dropped the pizza place eventually off of it, but.
You know who was on that show?
No.
Ryan Reynolds, I think. I'm looking it up.
Was he?
I'm pretty sure that's like how he
I
got
don't
his
know
start.
If that's true.
Looking that up right now.
I don't entirely
now.
Disbelieve you.
Two
but.
Guys,
so.
A girl, and a pizza place. I think Selma Blair was on that show.
Yeah, it just went to two guys and a girl.
So the first thing that popped up was Two Guys and a Girl podcast on Lipstick Alley.
Oh, Lipstick Alley is not even a real thing. You clearly
is
made
it?
That up. No, I don't want to see it, because then
Google.
That proves me wrong. And Ryan Reynolds was on it. Yeah. If I remember, and was Nathan Fillion. Wow.
Is that a show or is it a movie? Because that looks like a movie poster.
No, it was definitely a show. I definitely remember.
I know for sure it was a show, but like I'm seeing the one with. Huh. Yeah, it was.
Including, it made a lot of stars. Nathan Fillion.
I don't think that show made Nathan Fillion.
Richard Ruccolo.
Whoa.
The Richard. Oh, wait, he's on It's Always Sunny. Oh, that guy.
Oh, so, yeah, who's the guy from
the when they were selling the bar.
Yeah.
The gay guy that mm-hmm. they
took to the strip club.
The strip club, yeah. Oh.
Who wouldn't be interested in naked women dancing in your face? Well, a gay man, for one.
No.
You?
You're so tough.
Now I'm mad again. Because it's off Netflix. It's only on Hulu. Stupid Hulu.
I mean, I get it on Hulu, but I don't want to watch it on Hulu. I'd rather watch it on Netflix. The fact that I can't get it on Netflix upsets me. I have Hulu, but I don't want to watch it. I find most of my entertainment these days comes from YouTube.
See, and actually, I know you're doing a segue, but like legitimately, I had this thought today that the majority of stuff that I've started watching is a lot of it's on YouTube. But granted, I'm also doing it like, so instead of just rewatching The Office for the millionth time, I'm rewatching like the Game Grumps go through Shovel Knight or like Pro Jared or Completionist videos.
I've introduced myself to new people on YouTube because mm-hmm. for the longest time I just watched Boogie 2988, mm-hmm. which I've become more of a fan of, in the past year. Like I kind of watched his Francis videos and a lot of people, including me, thought that's what his content was just Francis videos. Right.
Oh yeah. No, like I have publicly apologized to Boogie multiple times on this show.
I really love, and I know he says that it's his most unpopular videos, the ones where he just talks about life. Mm-hmm. I actually really like those the most. Because it's nice to talk to somebody or to hear somebody else talk about struggles, because so many people on YouTube, it's always a party.
It's the glamour, you know, multiple stage lighting. And
celebration of look what we've done, stuff like that.
Which is cool, but it is nice. I think that's kind of like what this show and the Thursday show are. Because like we talked about, I think we talked about it not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before on Nerd Up. Not on Nerd Up, but like as we were setting up or tearing down, whatever. Just the like, you have PW and Nerd Up as like the flagship. Those are the biggest shows because they cover actual like news topics within a set universe or a set subject, whereas this show and the Thursday show are more just like, okay, so those personalities that you enjoy talking about when they talk about wrestling and they talk about nerd stuff, just talking about life.
Yeah.
They're more
personal.
Yeah.
And some of the shows that we've done in the past have been extremely personal. I did at least three shows, I think, where it was just me talking about literally my life. The Why of Sly. Yeah. And I'll never do it again because the channel itself has changed a lot since then. Because back then it was very much it was the Wild Wild West back then. It kind of was. We threw a lot of stuff at the wall to see what stuck. And that's something that I'd rather not do ever again. Because one, I don't think it's entertaining for people that don't know me personally. And it might be. Like, people might like to hear me talk about my own personal life and the trash fire that I exist in daily. But at the same time, we've kind of moved more towards, even when we talk about serious stuff, it's more analytical and less just off the cuff, like, well, this is what happened to me. Mm-hmm. We use our experience to talk about other things as opposed to like our lives personally. That's probably for the best because you never want to put too much out there.
Right.
You know, the first time I heard that, you know, like my girlfriend's mom had listened to the show, I freaked out a little bit. I'm like, I don't want her to know that side of me because I like to present myself as kind of an intelligent and charming person that doesn't say the F word when in reality I do.
A lot.
Say it a lot.
We all do.
Less than I used to.
Mostly it's Allie.
Oh my God. Did you hear the PW intro last week?
Scandalous.
We have the uncensored audio of that. And depending on what happens in the future, we may use that. Just so you know.
Blackmail. Extortion is a much better term.
There may be a couple of F words on tonight's show.
I forget how good you are at the evil glare. And it always throws me off. Like, it's just, it's a little, I'm sorry. This is a bit. We're not going to continue. Hey, so speaking of YouTube,
we talked about the Paul brothers a couple of months ago because, and what was the controversy then? There was an article that came out.
I don't remember.
Because you weren't on that show.
No, it was a Thursday show because I don't remember. Because it wasn't, Tanner put it, was it our show?
I think we talked about it on this show before because it was kind of, I want to say.
Were we talking about YouTube personalities, maybe?
No, because there was something that came up.
Oh, because it wasn't
because it had to do with him.
It wasn't this one. It was the other one.
It was the brother.
It was the other brother.
Because they like got the
lost something with Disney.
No, or
well,
no,
he lost his deal because
that was PewDiePie.
He was like well.
No, he also
these guys
lost.
Also lost their like, well they lost so they were on a Disney
oh, this
show.
Was this was the housing thing.
The
wasn't
housing
it?
Thing, yeah, okay. where he was terrorizing his neighbors and was so proud of it.
That's right.
And then everyone saw
wasn't
Logan.
Wasn't everyone's defense like, oh well, yeah, I mean he's trash, but his brother's fine.
Yes, Logan Paul was the one that it was like, oh, but he's the kind of more mature one. And apparently that has gone out the window. Logan Paul is now enemy number one of a lot of people on the internet. We'll explain why here in 1 second. But I do want to mention the whole reason I brought up that I started watching new personalities on YouTube is because I wanted to mention one of my new favorite people to watch, which is Metal Jesus Rocks. So if you guys are fans of Metal Jesus Rocks and you know who I'm talking about, it's a great channel. It's so this guy used to work for Sierra Entertainment, which is an old PC developer. And I played a lot of Sierra games. And now he just has a channel where he talks about video games. He tests out new stuff. And what I like about him is it's very much like the Boogie videos where his personality is not that Logan Paul-esque, over-the-top, obnoxious, cuts every 2 seconds. Like, I don't like that. I like my YouTube to be personal and, like, people talking to you, mm-hmm. which is what Metal Jesus Rocks is. He's older. I think he's in his 40s, so he has that older mentality, whereas opposed to these young cats who do stupid things like we're about to talk about.
See, I really think you would like Game Grumps. Like, if
I've heard Game Grumps. I don't dislike them.
There are certain, because they very much are not polarizing. That's not the word I'm going for. They're very, what their content is varies so greatly. Because sometimes, yeah, it is the just totally jokey, irreverent, like, not crazy offensive, but like, they swear a lot and they, you know.
They do sequelitis.
They go
right?
a little blue. Aaron does.
Ego Raptor.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I like that series.
I wish he would, I want him to go back to that so bad. But so like, so they do just these crazy off the wall jokes and stuff. But then there are episodes where they get real in depth with like, personal life. So not like necessarily their personal life, but like personal experiences and like, like they talk about depression and like how hard it is to sometimes create content and just like having to keep working and like just
stuff we've all dealt with.
Yeah. It's
crazy is that to say?
And when they do both sides of it, they're both very well done.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of the stuff that you've been exposed to is that crazy, way over the top, like
humor.
Yeah. The humor side of it.
Well, like even a guy like PewDiePie. Well, I'm not a PewDiePie fan because the only thing I knew about PewDiePie was what Reagan and Riley watched at the Jackson Gaming Grounds mm-hmm. when they turned it on. It was like, yeah, PewDiePie. And then right. he would just be super obnoxious. But I've seen videos where he talks about things and I actually relate. I saw him on Good Mythical Morning once and I thought he was very charming and mm-hmm. intelligent. And whenever he talks like a human being, I actually like it.
Right.
So I think anybody can be that way.
Yeah.
Except the Paul brothers because everything I've ever seen from them is, and again, we might say some F words tonight because
they started on Vine.
They did. So he
that's
was a.
That's kind of where you.
You know, as funny as enough, learn. As you say that, I actually wrote out an intro for this to explain who Logan Paul is. Because Logan Paul is, to a lot of people, is like Kwanzaa. And they wonder, who the hell is Logan Paul? Like, you know, what the hell is Kwanzaa?
Does he have a robot that will explain it to him in song form?
Paul Bot? No. I'd hate to meet that robot. That's the most obnoxious robot. Way worse than that BB-8 bastard. Hate that guy. You know that guy I'm talking about? About 3 feet tall? Kind of rolls around a lot?
Yeah.
Okay, rolling with his homies. So what I wrote was, to explain who Logan Paul is, Logan Paul, former Vine and possibly soon-to-be former YouTube star, although it's not going to happen, posted an update to his Twitter on December 30th that read, quote, tomorrow's vlog will be the craziest and most real video I've ever uploaded. Have you seen the video, Asa?
No.
Okay.
I've probably seen,
for the best.
I've seen behind the scenes, which I think is where a lot of this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've read recaps and I think I've seen like one video of someone explaining it.
On December 31st, he again tweeted saying, quote, new vlog. I don't know, man, just go. Yeah. And then on December 31st, he posted a vlog showing himself and friends traveling to, and I know how to pronounce this. So I'm going to mess it up. Oikigahara, which is also known as the Sea of Trees or the Suicide Forest in Japan. Calvin, mm-hmm. if you're listening and I mispronounced that in any way, I apologize, which is located outside of Mount Fuji. And basically what the video is him and his friends go to this place that is supposedly haunted because a lot of people kill themselves there. And actually, I wrote a little bit about that in case you're wondering the Suicide Forest. It records upwards of 105 suicides per year, and it is the most popular place in Japan for suicides. It is reportedly haunted, both from the high suicide rate and from the alleged practice of Ubusute. God, I'm butchering Japanese tonight, and I actually know some Japanese, which is sad, which is the abandonment of the elderly to die. Never proven, but legend has for many, many years up until the 19th century that people would take their elderly to the forest and abandon them there to die because no one would ever find them. Mm-hmm. That is a thing that actually happens, by the way. That is a terrible, terrible right. thing. So they go there because of the haunted reputation. They All right, at this point, I'm going to go off script because I actually wrote a bunch of stuff out, but they're going to a place called Suicide Forest.
With cameras.
With cameras. And so if you know Suicide Forest, because I know a lot of you do, if you've ever heard me talk about it before, because I, too, am fascinated with the possible paranormal implications of Suicide Forest.
Didn't they make a movie about it?
They did, and it was bad. We watched it. It was the theater.
You liked it.
It was okay. I did not like it.
He just, because he wasn't your favorite movie, but.
I mean, was it Eight Crazy Nights? No. What is?
Are you saying Eight Crazy Nights is your favorite movie?
It's terrible. It stinks.
Then why is it your favorite movie?
That's Jordan.
You know what your favorite.
It's an Adam Sandler movie.
You know what your favorite movie should be?
What's that?
John Wick, Chapter 2, Movie of the Year. Confirmed.
I still need to watch
Official.
It.
Official. Yeah. Podzilla 1985.
That is not confirmed.
Pick.
That is not confirmed.
100%.
That was never voted by the audience.
No, it doesn't have to be because it is.
You're using your golden overwrite?
Yeah.
Anyway, so these people, they go to the Suicide Forest, and it is a place, like, I've looked at it, I've studied it, because I'm very fascinated by it, not just the paranormal stuff, but just suicide kind of fascinates me to begin with, because I'm clinically depressed, as a lot of the people on this show are. Yeah, sometimes it surprises me how messed up we all are. Some of us. Me especially. But I struggle with suicidal thoughts occasionally myself. It's gotten worse in the past year. So the fact that somebody would actually take their own life has always been not, and I don't mean fascinating in a way that's meant to be offensive, but just trying to figure out why people do it. You know, like what it takes to get to that point. And I've never gotten to that point, thank God, but I know people that have.
Right.
And it's a very sensitive subject. So that you would take this sensitive subject that a lot of people, if you've never, obviously if you've never done it, you wouldn't be listening if you had. But you know someone that has, or you know someone that's affected by it. Everyone does. So they take their cameras into a place called Suicide Forest, which is the most recorded suicides in Japan. And every year it seems to get bigger and bigger. At one point, I think they actually had 200 that they found one year. It literally, you go on these paths. If you go off the path, you're guaranteed to run into a dead body, whether it's fresh or whether it's just some part of this sea of trees that is so massive mm-hmm. that people can't get into and find all of this stuff. It's a huge problem. But they go in there and they record a dead body. They find a dead body hanging from a tree. And what I read this morning when I got up, because I actually saw my friend, a friend of the show, Ethan Craig Miles, who posted it on Twitter about Strike Logan Paul. And I thought, okay, I don't like Logan Paul, first off. Let me just put that out there now. I think he's unfunny. I think he's kind of a jackass. I think that style of humor mm-hmm. is jackassery at its highest point. And if Jesse's listening to this going, but you like Eric Andre, I can't explain it. So don't call me a hypocrite. I know. But he posted that and I thought, okay, what did Logan Paul do? So I looked up Logan Paul and sure enough, I didn't watch the video yet, but I saw the CNN article that said Logan Paul apologizes for showing this video of a dead body. And in reading the article, they talk about how he didn't monetize it, that he was trying to he said he was trying to create awareness for suicide, and that in parts of the video, he talks about how it's no joke, here's the hotline, and it seemed, in a way, sincere, reading it. And we talked about this in the group chat, because I mentioned that I thought he was sincere in what he was saying, and that I truly believe in his own twisted mind, because I don't think the rules of reality apply to him in some cases. He really thought that he was doing something good by doing this. And it's just the way he acts and the way he presents himself maybe led people to believe that he was being a jackass about it. But then I watched the video. And if you've watched the video, which you can't see on YouTube anymore because they pulled it, we'll talk about that in a second. You can find it online in other places. And I don't know the guy personally, but the reactions that he did of laughing about it, standing next to him and go like, oh, you never seen it. You never taken a picture next to a dead body and laughing about it and stuff like that. Or, bro, are you effing with me? Are you alive? And the whole, I'm not trying to freak anybody out, but I think there's a dead body there. It was like B-level acting in a terrible, terrible college film. There's no way that this was this guy's sincerest way. Like, if this is how he genuinely reacts to things, then I don't think he knows how to be human properly.
It's the same dude who faked the, colorblind glasses that you can see color for the first time.
That I'm not sure of. I can't say for sure, but that would not surprise me.
It is.
Oh, you're telling me. Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I don't know if you were asking me.
No, that's a statement of fact. Cause like, because Tanner was the first one that was like, oh, did you guys see this?
Right.
And I legitimately was like, I don't know who that is. And then once it was that thing where it's like, okay, that's, I remember that video. I still don't entirely remember. I think it was the brother that we talked about.
Jake Paul.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The other Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's on top of that, it's also just like, he brought cameras. He knew what he was going for.
You don't go to a suicide forest and not expect to see that.
Right. Yeah. And it's the fact that he very clearly and knowingly exploited this human being's tragedy for his own gain.
Right.
Yeah, you can say that, oh, well, he didn't monetize the video. That doesn't mean jack shit.
Especially
because he knew this was going to be huge, this was going to be controversial, it was going to go viral, which is going to bring people to his other videos
right.
that are monetized.
He also mentioned in the video, he kept saying the F word, and he says, dude, they're not going to monetize this video. So he clearly knew it wasn't going to be monetized.
They probably knew it wasn't going to be monetized anyway. It also, so not only did he film the video, not only did he film this person who took their own life, he zoomed in on them. Yeah, he blurred out their face.
Barely.
But he used their body in the thumbnail of his video.
I was wondering if you had seen that. Yeah, literally. So it's him with a kind of, it's that same goofy ass YouTube reaction thing where they have that shocked face.
Crazy face.
Right.
And then some sort of background.
But then a dead body behind him. A right. legitimate dead body. And we cannot describe in detail, like we can't do justice to how they acted in this video. From grab the camera, let's go, to the girl laughing about it. Like, oh my God, that's a dead body. The way they treat this body like it's a prop.
Right.
Like, that's, and there are some people that don't get it. That say, there are worse things on YouTube. There's worse things on the internet. They didn't kill anybody. No, they did not. But to not have respect for the dead, to treat a dead body and the tragedy that surrounds us as a prop for your damn vlog.
And
I don't get how there's not more of an outrage on this.
The thing, because they're 12. His audience is 12 years old and they do not have the life experience or the world experience to truly understand the gravity of what has happened. Because it's not even the fact that it's a dead body. Because yeah, that in itself is despicable and he should be ashamed of himself, which she's not capable of. The problem is, like, the biggest issue, at least personally, is the fact that this is someone whose only course of action they believed was to do this. Suicide is such a fucked up thing. Like, not, like, I'm not condemning it because, like, again, like, it's something that I have struggled with before. We did that show.
Yeah.
It's been a while now, but, like,
right.
Depression is such a serious disorder that does not get the attention it deserves. It does not get the sympathy or the respect that it deserves
right.
for people who are struggling with this. And so for the fact that someone saw their only course of action was to go to this forest and to kill themselves, and like the heartbreak that that person was enduring, that that person's family and friends and loved ones and even, you know, acquaintances
are enduring now,
knowing that this, not only just having to deal with the fact that they're loved one, their friend, whoever it may be, took their own life, but to know that it was so openly disrespected.
Yeah.
Because whether or not I'm not making the argument that that's how he processes emotions, because he has so much money at such a young age, he doesn't know how to be a human being.
Right.
Like, but there was a clear intent.
Yeah.
You don't go into the suicide forest
not expecting.
With cameras. Like, the Game Grumps, again, go back to it. Not to keep going back to it, but Ross, who's does like Steam Trained and Doodle Dudes and is an animator. He told the story when they went to Japan, they visited the suicide forest, but they didn't do it with a camera. They weren't wearing loud, obnoxious anime hats. They didn't go. They were quiet and respectful, and
right.
they observed like just what this is, because on the one hand, it's like kind of a gross tourist attraction.
It's morbid,
but
for sure.
It's morbid, but I kind of get having a respect for what that place is.
Yeah, and not to cut you off, but I think used properly, this can be a tool. He said, so one of his excuses was, I didn't do this for hits, I didn't do this for views. One, yes you did.
Right.
Don't lie. I know you're trying to put face
then
on because you're in
gone.
Trouble. But he said that I'm trying to use this to bring attention to it, and that if I could save one life, it's worth it. I believe that this forest can be used for that. I've seen documentaries about this. I've seen people, photographers that go out and record, and these sad images of people that have died. That is a powerful tool.
Right.
But what they do is they treat it with respect. They show you the horrors of it without making jokes, without making it about them. In his apology, he said he referred to himself 26 times
mm-hmm.
in his apology. It's all about him. That guy was just a prop.
Also, the fact that, like, he tried to say, like, I make a 15-minute TV show every day. No, you don't. You vlog. Yeah. YouTube and Vine stars and Twitch personalities and even podcasters do not get the respect that a lot of them deserve as actual content creators, because what they do is impactful and meaningful to people. And you can't take that away. You can't take that away. Logan is an important, impactful person. He has influence on a very large community. Whether or not we disagree with that is not, there's no argument against that.
You can't deny it.
You cannot deny it factually. And so, yes, there is a way that if he made a video that started with, you know, here's the suicide hotline prevention, this is a very serious topic, and it was him at a desk just talking about, like, this is what we did. We went to the suicide forest. We actually ended up seeing, like, this is how that affected me, and I want to share that experience with you.
Right.
That is how you do that video.
Yeah.
I'm sure there have been people who have done that video.
Right.
You do not take a camera crew. Oh, bro. Oh, like, are you fucking with me, right? Like,
I don't know how many times he said bro in that video.
Loud
or dude.
And screaming and laughing. Yeah. And just, like, openly making jokes at this. Again, this is not a prop. This is not some rubber dummy that they hung from a tree. This is an actual individual. This was a human being.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking about his viewers, you said, are 12 years old. That's true. Like, I'm sure they're not all 12. I'm sure he has adult viewers and even younger. But the point is like, when you do a video like this, who is your target audience? Why are you exposing 12-year-olds and teenagers to a dead body? In what, like, I'm trying to grasp his concept of, like, other than going, and because he says in the video, oh, this is a first for YouTube. This has never been done before. He's proud of it.
Right.
But, like, your viewers, how do you think this is going to affect them? You clearly have no respect for your viewers, even if they're younger and you don't respect them. Because
no, he doesn't. You know, that's an easy paycheck.
Like, it is. But, like, why, Allie? Why show these images to kids? Does he think that this is what they want to see?
I don't know. I mean, I can't.
Asking you, what do you think about this?
I mean, he's immature. He's an idiot. He's all the things that we've said that other people have said before. There's really not much else to say about it other than he's immature and an idiot and just completely disrespected.
What we're talking about is fans. I was going to save this for last.
Maybe he thought that, like, well, don't kill yourself, because if you do, I'll make a YouTube video mocking you.
Well.
And that would upset them.
Well, listen to this. I was saving this for last, but since we're talking about his listeners, I did see a reply from one of his, she looks like he was about 13 or 14, this kid, and he posted a video reply to all of the backlash against Logan Paul. And I'm not going to tell you everything, but he posted a video saying that the suicide victim is, quote, lucky that he was in his vlog and that he would do anything, including that, to be in Logan Paul's vlogs because you, quote, get recognized by a lot of people. He adds, normal people might not film it, but we film it anyway because we're Mavericks, Maverick style. Then he shoots money from a plastic gun, a fake money out of a fake gun. Now, that's jackassery right there, the end part.
Right.
But the fact that he would say, I would do anything, including that, to be in his vlog because you get recognized.
And it's,
so if you have 15-year-olds and 12-year-olds that are listening to your vlog, this is the thing you're giving him an impact on. This is what they're seeing.
Someone got pulled over, like, right in front of the store.
Sorry, I keep seeing the flashing lights.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, dangerous, Allie, now let me bring you in on this. How dangerous is that these impressionable minds, if one kid says, I would kill myself to be important on his vlog, like that suicide victim, how much damage has he done?
A lot.
Thank you.
Point
proven.
It's dangerous, and that's why whenever you do talk about something this important, you have to be careful about it. You have to be respectful to the people that sadly have gone through it. And you have to be aware that the way you present it is very important. And sometimes, in this case, even if he wouldn't have acted the way he did, showing the body probably was the one focus that one kid had, was, oh, he's in his vlog.
Right.
He got to be noticed, even if he didn't act that way towards it.
But it was irresponsible.
It was irresponsible.
Yeah.
And if your intention is to kind of make an awareness that a lot of people are dealing with suicidal thoughts, it's not a way to kind of exploit it. You have to present it in maybe a realistic way, but in a careful way.
Not as a B-movie.
No.
Especially when your audience is, at, like you said, at an impressionable age. Like, teenagers, like, anywhere from, like, 12 to 16, everything's changing.
Yeah.
Everything is changing, and you don't understand why. And, you know, a lot of kids in that age range suffer from depression.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do. And when you're that young and your hormones are flaring, like, the extreme decisions are way more prevalent.
Right.
Because that's just how your brain works at that time, is it's growing.
Right.
And it wasn't that he was glamorizing it at all, but like, if they see, oh, that's how I get his attention.
Right.
Or, oh, well, people will remember. Like, if you're doing something that shows that, it's just like, it's so gross to know that that is your audience, because like YouTube metrics will tell you exactly like who's watching you, who.
Right.
And like, they break down those demographics. So you know that. And to know that like, you are trying to get that kind of reaction, because I think he was trying to just flat out be like, okay, so my audience is this. This is something they haven't seen before. This is something they haven't been exposed to.
This is something
that
do to shock them.
But he absolutely doesn't take into account the way that they're going to process that sort of information.
Or he doesn't care. You know, maybe he does realize, I'm sure he realizes, oh, these kids are impressionable. Mm-hmm. Clearly they are. One, all right, again, this may be a prejudice and a bias. I don't like Logan Paul or Jake Paul. I don't find them entertaining. I don't find them funny. I find them to be obnoxious. Mm-hmm. Like, as a content creator on Podzilla 1985, as someone that tries to host and be their version of entertaining, to be crass and tasteless, and I don't like it. But I will also say that I'm not the demographic. We have not argued, but we've talked about on Pro Wrestling Unscripted how I don't like the Young Bucks and Omega style comedy wrestling. You guys like it more than I do, but there's room for different kinds of right. comedy. Well, I think the same should apply to this. If Logan Paul has his fans and he's being a jackass and they find it funny, not my cup of tea, whatever. But you cross a line when you do something like this, because not only are you being crass and tasteless, but you're also exploiting a tragedy.
Right.
And there's no defending this, yet people have been defending it. His viewers who don't, I don't think, comprehend what they've seen.
It's that thing where in like 5 years and they have like, cause as you get older, you have more empathy.
Yes.
Jokes that I made in high school and college.
100%.
Are 100%. Like, I look back at some of the stuff that I've said before and just be like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Yes.
Like, I Agreed. Can't believe that I used to think that was funny.
I've grown on this show.
Right. I mean, I think we all have.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of tell a progression, but so it's just like, it's that thing where they're going to realize like, oh wow, I can't believe
that I did that.
Yeah. And I, like, honestly, I would like to think that they would too, like, the Paul brothers will as well.
Well, okay.
Like, so, and they'll just be like, oh, holy crap.
So speaking of that, so he posted the video and nothing came out. Like, he didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, business is normal. But then it started to get backlash. Mm-hmm. So he pulled the video and then he posted an apology to Twitter on January 1st, the day after he posted the video. And that was it. He posted his apology, and then I looked this up. There was 4 tweets in between his apology and the next one, which he talked about his love for noodles, and he said some girl wanted the clout. So it was, again, business as usual. It didn't seem right. anything. Whenever that it clearly wasn't going away, he was losing viewers. He then posted a teary-eyed video apologizing to everybody, including the suicide victim and his family, which is what he should have done in the first place. The problem is that very clearly, if you look at the pattern of tweets and the things he sent out, is that I don't think he means a word of it. He's just trying to save face. I had the same criticism of PewDiePie
right.
whenever he did the Nazi stuff, that no, you knew what you were doing and you knew it was wrong. The only reason you're apologizing is because you don't want to lose your money.
Right.
And I truly believe that in this case, that this Logan Paul doesn't give a damn about any of the people that watch the show. He doesn't care about the families. He's in his own world. He doesn't want to lose that world. And that's why he's apologizing, which is very sad, because this is an opportunity to grow as a person. And he even said in his apology, I've never faced this backlash before. For the first time ever, I'm admitting I was wrong and I won't do this again. And I wish I could believe that it was sincere and that he truly evolved. But if no one had said, don't do that, he would have been fine with it.
I think he genuinely thinks that he won't do this again, because it's that thing where he's found the line and he's like, okay, I can't go past here anymore. Not that he would necessarily, like, not that he's actually learned anything
right.
other than
He's learned where he can't.
Except now now he's found something that he can't get away with.
Right. You know? Right. And the reaction, it's not just us that's reacted this negatively. I did want to mention that there's lots of reaction in the community, including on YouTube, some of his fellow YouTubers, including PewDiePie, who, again, I've never been a huge fan of. We criticize PewDiePie.
We've done a couple shows on PewDiePie because he's been
in the
a
news
pretty
for
prominent
things.
News story. And on the one hand, like, I do think that the first round of news cycle with the Nazi stuff that we talked about, he was very much a target. What he did was tasteless, and that's like, and he shouldn't have done it. But there were genuine times where he said, "This is what the media thinks I am," does a Hitler bit. Then the Wall Street Journal comes in with the footage of just him doing the Hitler bit without the setup of "This is what they think I am."
No context.
And saying this is what he did.
Right.
And it was like, okay, I'm kind of defending him because yes, there are certain things that were taken way out of context that shouldn't have been.
Right.
But then the thing with him dropping the N-bomb on streaming, and it's like, okay, there's really no
defending.
There's not a context for that. Like, it's so it's yeah.
Now, but again, I would say that I've said things personally to friends that we talked about jokes we made in the past that we've grown as people. I've said the N-word many times. I've said it on this show. Usually, I whenever I say it, it's generally in a way
you're making fun of the people who say it in earnest.
But at the same time, I've said it.
Right.
And I've also made tasteless jokes just for shock value. I don't do it as much anymore, thank God. But I understand what he's going for in a way, except in this particular case, I don't think he was trying to, like, entertain. It was just something he said while playing a video game. Now, maybe that is his entertaining. I don't know. I don't stream. Right. I don't Twitch. So I don't know. But I think PewDiePie has – I think he's also seen the line he can't go past. Mm-hmm. But I also, again – I've seen PewDiePie. I don't know what his actual name is.
Felix.
Yep. I've seen him talk as a human being, and I think he can have empathy. I think he is a normal person.
Right.
And I think he's made mistakes, and he can grow as a person. I don't think Logan Paul, at this point in his life, is capable of that. I think he's in his own world. PewDiePie, and he put out a video today where he said that he always knew that Logan Paul and Jake Paul are jackasses. And he said he's been saying it for years, and he says that Logan Paul is a straight-up sociopath, which... kind of. I mean, that's the vibe I'm getting. Mm-hmm. When PewDiePie, and he even admits in the video, I should not be the one calling anyone out because of the things that I've done that I've gotten in trouble for. But at the same time, this is too much.
Right.
Because this is too much. Philip DeFranco, who I'm a fan of. Are you a fan of Philip DeFranco?
So I don't know enough about him. Like I've seen when a big story, like he was my big story, or he was my big source for that Daddy 05
yes.
nonsense
same.
That happened.
Same.
And, like, I've liked the stuff that I've seen.
You just haven't watched enough.
I just haven't seen enough of it. Like, I think he puts out really, really good content. Like, it's very well thought out. It's very well presented. It's high quality. But just, like, I haven't seen enough of it to really just be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm totally on board.
I like his news videos like that. Like, I like people that talk about issues, so I appreciate that.
I like Philip DeFranco.
Does he slant kind of conservative?
That I don't know.
I honestly don't know what he slants, but I just know whenever he talks, one of the videos that he did about the YouTube, like...
the adpocalypse.
Yeah. And he was like, whenever I set up my channel and all of this, I found ways to make sure I was getting my money not through YouTube, so I'll be fine no matter what. But I know lots of people that didn't set it up this way, and they will be very much affected by this. And he very much put a personal, like, point on something that wasn't going to affect him at all.
Right.
Which...
And speaking of YouTube, I forgot to mention this. They did put out a statement.
Just real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like, I'm not asking like, does he slant conservative? Because that will change whether or not I like him or not.
Yeah.
Just, I don't even know why I thought he did, but it's just like, I didn't know I didn't know if he started as kind of like, not like a full blown like Tommy Lauren or whatever her name is, like, or Bill O'Reilly, like super right wing talking head. Like, I knew he wasn't anything even close to that. I just thought he was like, kind of like more of a like moderate conservative voice giving an opinion, whereas you get mostly from right and left, you just get the crazy hyperbolic.
Yeah, the crazy personality.
And he was like more of a centrist, like giving an actual rational answer to both sides.
And that's
but I haven't seen, but again, I haven't seen anything where that would even come into play.
That's what I like about it. He does seem rational. Mm-hmm. And I like rational in my YouTube. YouTube said in a statement that the video had violated its policies, which prohibit, quote, violent or gory content posted in a shocking, sensational, or disrespectful manner. So here's the thing. YouTube didn't pull the video, as Philip DeFranco pointed out, because he got the statement. They didn't pull the video. Logan Paul pulled the video after it got so much backlash, which is the smart thing to do. You take it away and then hope no one knows about it.
Right.
But of course, by that point, it spread like wildfire. YouTube actually had it trending at number 10.
Right.
The video.
And that isn't an because for those who don't know, that's not an automated, oh, this is the 10th most popular video on YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube curates those lists because they very much want their content creators who have signed on with them to do stuff like so they can push things like YouTube Red so they can push their new advertising model.
And Logan Paul, whether you like him or not, is one of the biggest stars on YouTube.
Which somehow, like, he fits into their advertising model because you have people like Boogie who was affected by the apocalypse.
Nostalgia critic.
Right. Like, you have people who use foul language because that's how they talk. We, like, on this show, we've kind of moved away from it a little bit, and I'm fine with it because it's not like we're not doing the crazy over the top, like,
we don't have to cuss to be entertaining.
Right. Well, it's not even that. It's just like, you and me for sure. Like, when we talk, we swear.
Yes.
Like, that's in our vernacular. It's just, whether
it's
or not it's a good thing.
Wired.
We're not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just that's how we talk. And we try to keep that off. We try to rein it in a little for this show.
Yeah, because we know people that listen to it in a professional setting, especially. And they can't have us blasting F words every few seconds.
And even PWU and Nerd Up, we try very hard to keep those show.
That's the selling point for Thursday.
PG-13.
It's anything goes.
So it's like, people who make this content that is well thought out, that is well curated, that is like, they put actual genuine effort into it other than just like rambling for 10 minutes, but they throw in fuck or shit and YouTube deems that unmonetizable.
Right.
But then
he was bleeped out in this video. He bleeped out like the F words, but
like swearing. Like, I'm not just saying like the reason he shouldn't be monetized is because of the language he uses.
Well, no, that's what I'm frustrated about is that, like, is that the excuse?
Right.
Is because he bleeped out the cuss words? Because it very clearly violates YouTube's policies, right? Mm-hmm. But not only that, not to steal your phrase, but the fact that how we've talked about wrestling before, wrestling can't get monetized on YouTube because of its violent content. Certain shows that can't get monetized, certain shows that get pulled for these things. You have all of these systems in place, YouTube, to stop content from getting to people that is deemed questionable from people you don't like.
Right.
But here, Logan Paul has a video with a legitimate dead body in it that hung himself, and this hit your trending. There is no way they can talk themselves out of this. This should be something, you know, Boogie talked about the apocalypse. Philip DeFranco talked about it and how unfair it is. This is prime example. So that stuff's not okay, and we need to make sure kids don't see this. But here's Logan Paul's video where he poses next to a dead guy.
Right.
That makes no sense.
And a lot of it is because a lot of YouTube moderation is automated.
Right.
Like, it's almost entirely automated, which is...
So if they saw a corpse...
doesn't work.
Line up. In comments, or like, I don't get how they do it. I don't get what their algorithms are. I don't understand how they judge what. But the fact that wrestling can be pulled because it is wrestling, but this dead body made it for so long until the content creator himself pulled it is baffling to me. And that's not a sign that YouTube needs to change their policies. What is?
Not even that. Not only that they didn't pull it, but they featured it.
Right.
They put it in a position so the most possible people would see it.
And there's outrage now, but as Philip DeFranco said, going back to him, he said, just remember this, before all the extended community outrage against Logan Paul's We Found a Dead Body video, which, by the way, if I remember correctly, it was literally called We Found a Dead Body. Mm-hmm. Good for you. There was a seemingly uncontested 550 to 600,000 likes on the video. His core audience doesn't give a fuck. Unless YouTube does something, this doesn't hurt him. And that's 100% true.
No, yeah, it's...
He may lose something. But what's he really going to lose?
He may lose some of the people who are more on the edge.
Right.
Like, who have aged out.
Anna Akana, I'm not familiar with, but she's also a YouTube personality. She said, "Dear Logan Paul, when my brother found my sister's body, he screamed with horror and confusion and grief and tried to save her. That body was a person someone loved. You do not walk into a suicide forest with a camera and claim mental health awareness."
Right.
Meg Turney, who was a cosplayer on YouTube, says, and I get back to her in a second. I put her on her for a reason. She said, all eyes on you, YouTube. What Logan Paul did was unacceptable and deserves decisive action. There is no place on YouTube for that type of content. Christy Teigen, I won't read her entire statement, but she basically said that what he did was sick and stupid, but you don't know what it's like to have a campaign to end your entire being. So she kind of came to his defense in the sense that, like, she kind of knows what it's like for everyone to attack her, but she also eventually just said, like, I'm not... She eventually threw her hands up because people started attacking her and said, like, I get it. It's terrible. But maybe have some, like, try to look at it from his angle, which not that I think that that's right. I do believe that in every case, every terrible thing that happens, whether it's rape allegations, no matter what it is, you do need to look at the every angle. You need to study the facts. You need to look at it logically. Don't just go, oh, someone said something terrible happened to something somewhere and go, well, that must have happened. You have to look at it logically. But you can't look at this logically in any way and go, well, here's the defense. Like, there's no defense for this, you know? And I'm not trying, I hope no one thinks I'm trying to trivialize like rape allegations. I'm clearly not. You guys know how I feel about it. They're terrible and they should be studied. But my point is that you can't defend something that's undefendable. And how can you defend this? Like, there are certain cases in life where something happens, Brock Turner, where there should be no defense. It should be clear cut. This was a thing he did. It was terrible and he needs to be condemned. And that's what this is. Sorry. Let me climb off my high horse. It's really high. Aaron Paul. You know Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad?
Yeah. The good Paul brother.
Yeah. They even pointed out, they're like, so he's not related.
Right.
And if he was, he probably would have kicked their ass. Mm-hmm. He gave it the hardest probably. He said, I can't believe that so many people look up to you. Young people look up to you. It's so sad. Hopefully this latest video woke them up. You are pure trash, plain and simple. Suicide is not a joke. Rotten hell. Maybe extreme.
No.
Oh, and Piers Morgan. You like Piers Morgan?
No, I don't.
He said, you're a sick, twisted, heartless little prick, which is true.
But, I mean, it's true, but I feel like the only reason Piers Morgan decided to comment on it is because...
To get that attention?
Is because he saw, like, oh, here's a thing that will make people stop hating me. Here's someone that someone, like... I'm surprised his statement was, like, no, that was some good journalism.
Which it could have been. Like, if he was... if it was a legitimate journalistic thing, but it wasn't. It was a vlog for hits. My favorite thing, someone pointed this out to me, was that KFVS 12 posted an article about this, and you know the best of the best comes out for that. And I just want to read some of our local comments from the Cape Girardeau area. And I'm going to say their names,
too. No, you're not.
But I don't.
Can I?
No, you're not.
But they put it on Facebook. How is it not eligible?
Because that's on Facebook. If you go to the KFVS 12 site, that's fine. But, like, I don't think there's a reason to put local people on blast.
All right, fine. Here's some of the statements. Have any of y'all ever watched any of Trump's televised speeches or appearances he makes? Every time he opens his mouth, someone jumps out a window and y'all are fine with it. Hell, most of y'all put him there. I'm going to a place where the beer flows like wine.
What does that even mean?
Well, and what I'm getting from this is that he's basically saying, yeah, what he did was dumb, but Donald Trump's terrible. Hey, I hate Trump too, but Trump has no place here. Like, the fact that you're trying to pull a Donald Trump argument out of this Logan Paul video is sad.
Yeah.
And it is the opposite of what you should be doing.
Yeah, I don't get what...
That's stupid. Like, that's baffling.
You would like, insane people Facebook on Reddit.
I would like that.
That's that kind of thing.
But would I love it as much as, what is it? Indian Facebook? What
Indian people Facebook. I think that's what it was. Too.
This is the reason I brought up Meg Turney.
Friendship ended.
Meg Turney is a cosplayer. And I guess she's a half nude cosplayer or a nude cosplayer. I don't know. I don't care. But someone said, Meg Turney, like, you have anything to say. You are almost nude in everything you do. Cosplay? More like softcore porn.
So?
So, what is the point of that? You're trying to say that her opinion on this doesn't matter because she takes half-naked pictures? What is the sensibility in America at this point that these are the kind of reactions we have to this kind of, like, stupidity and outrage? I have no idea who this man is, and until this day, blissfully was unaware of his existence. From what I've gleaned in the last few minutes, he appears to be another example of his generation, an individual who craves attention and is prepared to abandon any sense of decency or taste in order to achieve that goal. I think it's unfair to criticize an entire generation for the actions of one idiot
right.
on Facebook mm-hmm. or YouTube or whatever. And then my personal favorite, and this is the one I wanted to read this to you. And I wish I could say this person's name because he claims he's a YouTube personality, but I will respect your wishes. I will. of, he says, I'm a YouTube personality. It's right there in the opening statement. And we have to show what we see because we are talking about our everyday life. And if this is part of our everyday life, then that is what we show. This is not a part of your everyday life.
He doesn't go through it. He doesn't start his day through this with a stroll through the suicide forest.
Yeah. It's like if you go out and shoot someone and then post a video of you killing them, they're like, this is my everyday life. I post what I see. You did that on purpose. You made this happen. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And it goes back to like the whole like I do 15 minutes of TV every day. Again, that's not TV. We put out like just me does what 3 hours?
Yeah,
which is longer than 15 minutes a day.
Well, that's depending on how PUW goes.
That's
it could go upwards of four.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Right. I do three shows a week.
Yeah, you do the same. Like,
yeah, we all do multiple hours per week. If you added up our time versus their time. Now, I will admit that they plan stuff out. They shoot stuff. Like, they put a lot of work into this stuff that he does. He has a team to do it.
Right.
We don't have a team. We don't get paid for it.
We are the team.
We are the team. Yeah. Right. We're the ones that do all this and create the content. None of it's scripted. None of it is like a fake thing. Every time you listen to our show, you are listening to people who are reacting naturally to what we talk about. None of this is like is falsified for entertainment value.
The only thing that we do is like we put together like topics.
Right.
And like so like with PW and Nerd Up, like we have
or this.
I mean, less so with this, but I mean like PW and Nerd Up, we have dedicated like chats on Facebook where we can just send news that we find. So we can be like, "Oh, hey, remember we need to remember to talk about this."
Right.
So, like, but that is wildly different from the, okay, so Tuesday we're going to go to this restaurant and we're going to film a thing out here. Like, this is what's going to happen. Like, they do break down, like, they do writing and they do.
Right. It's like, reality TV, basically.
Kind of, but like, I think somehow bites. Even less scripted.
Yeah.
I would think because.
Well, that's because they just tell Logan Paul, go be Logan Paul.
But because I also do think a lot of that stuff is just kind of off the cuff. Like, oh, here's a thing that happened to me. I'm going to relate that.
Right.
And like, grant a lot of it is made up, is falsified. No one lives these lives. That just isn't a thing.
YouTuber just walks through the suicide forest randomly.
But like, there are people who are very good at vlogging like daily lives. Like Hannah Hart is someone who, personally, I'm a little bit bummed in her channel over the last few years because it has very much moved away from My Drunk Kitchen.
Yeah.
To like daily vlogs where she is doing updates on where, cause now she's working with Food Network and Travel Channel and like she takes like, because she, is a very good role model, I think, for, LGBT youth.
Her because and, she's, Tyler Oakley.
Yeah. I love when they work together. I really do.
Tyler Oakley is adorable.
But like they, like are, like they're these YouTube personalities who appeal to a younger, like, cause they're, probably between my age and your age, like somewhere in there.
Isn't Hannah Hart like in her early 30s?
She might be.
Because the other one that I liked a lot, what was
Grace
her name?
Helbig.
Grace Helbig. I'm pretty sure she's in her 30s too.
But so like they're within our demographic, but they appeal to a younger demographic because, but they are like everything they put out is so unrelentingly positive.
Right.
Even when it's stuff that is like very sensitive and very can be upsetting. And dark.
Right.
They put a spin on it where it's like, okay, yeah, but it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to be upset at these things. It's what you do with that energy. And it's like those kind of messages and those kind of vloggers are great. Like, and, I think those are.
And I think that if someone had I don't know any personally, but if someone had a vlog where they talked about death and suicide and stuff like that, and it wasn't in a positive way, if they just talked about it from the heart, that's fine too. Like, there's room for all these different emotions, but what I don't think there's room for, and I think you guys agree, is there's no room to exploit people for those emotions.
For just the blatant disrespects.
And the fact that so many people have come to the defense, and that I think and I don't mean to bring Trump into this, because I mentioned earlier that it's stupid to do it, but in this way, I think it's accurate and viable, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but we live in an era now where these people get these like cult-like personalities and these cult-like followings like Logan Paul, like Donald Trump, to where they can say or do whatever they want, and they may take a small hit, but in the end of, the grand scheme of things, it doesn't hurt their bottom line generally. Look at Trump and the things he said and done that are baffling, that any other president that said them would have been impeached or had been thrown under the bus. Look at Logan Paul and the things he's done and that he said, and this in particular, that if Boogie had done, or another guy would have done, that they would have been crucified for it. And we live in an era now where there are people that, I don't know if they're that charismatic or if the youth of today or the people of today are that yearning for someone to like attach themselves to, but they can get away with whatever they want. And there seems to be no consequences for these people. And there needs to be consequences for stuff like this.
I just like the Applebee's argument of the, if it would get you fired from your job at Applebee's, how are you still able to just like continue to go just unhampered? Yeah. Because it's like with Logan Paul, he very much like Philip DeFranco said, like you said already, like his base doesn't care. His base has already forgiven him. There's a hashtag of we forgive you. Like there's
in his apology, he had like Logan Life or something. I don't know. He's got some stupid thing.
He's got his own
thing.
Like, yeah. which like is smart because like I don't think this is just some dumb kid who dumbed his way into this. No,
he's
atrocious thing.
He's calculating.
This is a calculated, like,
yeah.
He has a brand and he's very protective of that brand.
Right.
And so now that's why he had to, like, that's why it took him a day or two or whatever to release the teary eyed, very emotional video as opposed to just the tweet because, okay, well, the tweet's not cutting it. I'm still maybe bleeding some subscribers. Maybe my, like, I have views going down. So I have to do something to try to right the ship.
Right.
And that's where that comes in.
And the fangirls and the fanboys, they see the teary eyes.
They see the teary eyes, yeah. and because they are in like this very developmental stage where their emotions are very extreme.
And they've attached themselves to him already.
Already, that they see him upset and that upsets them.
Right.
And so now they have to work extra hard to make sure that he's okay.
Now he's the victim.
Right.
That's the sad part, is that he's the victim for something that he did. And I mention this with no, just like nothing that I can think of that could be done to stop it. Because I don't think he should be kicked off of YouTube for showing stuff. Because I do believe in freedom of press where even if I don't agree with it, like it's not, unless it's a lie or it's, you know, it's like when we talk about tasteless jokes or of the alt-right talking. I don't like it. But when you have freedom, you have to take the good and the bad as long as it's not over the line. This was tasteless. But he didn't kill anybody. He didn't cause harm. He caused emotional harm. But I don't feel like you should take down his entire channel because of this video. But in that sense, what do you do? Like, what can you do to the guy?
But I also think it's part of the greater trend when you look at the content that he puts out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is a trend of just like constantly being disrespectful and being at a point where like this outrage is following him pretty consistently, yeah, at a certain point, like, yeah, it's not one strike and you're out, but this is not his first strike.
But there's a
middle ground between doing nothing and totally revoking his channel and totally kicking him off of YouTube.
So you think that would be like kicking him from his channel would be something you would, if you were in charge of YouTube?
I wouldn't be sad about it, but it's probably not, it probably wouldn't be my first move.
Right.
Like if I was in charge of YouTube, there would probably be a period of time where he could not post. Like there would be a temporary ban.
There needs to be punishment.
And I think it would require a review of his past content to try to see like, okay, let's see what kind of person is using this platform. And I totally get at any given point, there is more media being posted to YouTube than the, like any given minute. Mm-hmm. There are years worth of content being posted of YouTube every single minute of every single day.
Right.
And it is very much impossible to go through. But when you have someone this high profile and someone who, like YouTube has attached themselves to this brand, whether officially or not, that's where you really need to take the time and evaluate.
Right.
So if it was me and I see this happening, his channel is temporary, like he cannot upload anything for a set period of time. I would even maybe block his channel,
yeah,
to where he can't get any more views or subscriptions or anything like that
until
the review process deems whether or not, okay, yeah, you can come back.
You know why YouTube doesn't do it? It's because they are a business too, and they know how much money Logan Paul brings to their channel. And that's the hardest part, man, when you get to be an adult and you find situations like this where you have to make a moral call.
Because he has a YouTube Red Show.
Right.
We could not just go and be like, hey, we want to do a show on YouTube Red.
Right. We can barely do a show on YouTube.
Right.
Because we get pulled for something. But the fact that YouTube knows they're going to make so much money off of them, at what point, in any instance, does a business make a moral judgment? Because if they leave Logan Paul on their YouTube channel, YouTube's a lot like Walmart or GameStop. No matter how shitty they become, people are still going to go there. They're going to make money no matter what. So they know that even if they, people hate them for the Logan Paul thing right now, which they should, by the way, because that's a disrespectful and shameful thing that he did, and shame on YouTube for doing what they did.
Right.
But they'll be fine. But at the same time, they will lose more money by kicking him off than by keeping him. So at what point do you make a moral judgment call and say, look, I know we're going to lose money on this, but this is just wrong.
When you don't have shareholders to answer to.
Yeah.
And like the problem with YouTube is, and this, like, I'm, this is not like groundbreaking or anything. Like people, like I'm sure Philip DeFranco has even said, like, the problem with YouTube is YouTube's the only game in town.
Right.
There are no other viable options to be able to put out that kind of, that style content of like vlogging and be able to monetize it at all. Like, yeah, there's like places like Streamable and Vimeo.
Video Motion, Daily Motion. Yeah, that's not even, I don't even know if you monetize there, if it's just a uncensored
video. See, I don't know
video.
If you can monetize, like, I don't think Streamable you can even like, I think Streamable is like Imgur, where you can just, be, or how you, Imgur used to be, where right. you can post, like, okay, here's the video. You can then just post a link to that specific video. There's no, right. comments, there's no who, it doesn't show who posted it, stuff like that. So until there is a viable option for people to be able to go, like Philip DeFranco, like I am sure if Philip DeFranco had the money and the ability, he would absolutely start his own like website,
right?
Because he's someone who has been very outspoken against YouTube,
yeah.
and a lot of the BS that they pull.
Well, I know people like Boogie, he does Twitch. Mm-hmm. And he does other, like, he does shows on there to get around YouTube because of the way YouTube treats his people. There was a guy I used to watch a lot. I don't watch him as much anymore, named Mark, who did a channel called Classic Game Room. And I'm a big fan of that. I loved his reviews. He also went away from YouTube because of the way that they were handling, like, copyright material, stuff like that. And, the bad thing is that even though they go around that, like you said, there's no substitute for the attention that, and ease that YouTube can give you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they kind of call all the shots right now. And here we are. Anyway.
Let's start our own YouTube.
Let's
start Blackjack.
Let's start our own show. Like, where we can get away from the rules of Podzilla. Where I can shame people vocally. I get it. I get it. You have to remember that, I also don't make great decisions sometimes. And one of the things that I hate most is people who can run their mouth and hide behind anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
People that can post from a username or anonymous and that can terrorize people or shame them or feel terrible, and no one calls them out on how awful they are. So anytime I get a chance to call out someone, even if it's in a small way, I feel better about myself. But I also know that as a professional, and sometimes I forget that I am a professional when it comes to this, you have to act a certain way.
Well, and it's also something in general, like within the last couple years, we have actively tried to move away from using names,
right?
When we talk about,
again, Wild Wild West,
yeah,
back in the old days. Anyway, I know I said we were going to talk about happier things. We're past an hour.
Remember that time
I'm
before the show?
Sorry,
like we're just going to mention it. We're just going to mention.
This will take about 20 minutes.
I think it was an important show to do. I truly do. Suicide is something that means a lot to me. I can't speak for Asa, even though I know,
right?
But I had a friend, I had two friends when I was younger that killed themselves. And I won't name names, but my manager at GameStop, had someone that killed themselves. And I didn't know about it until years later when they told me, and I was shocked because it was something that they kept secret from so many people for so long. It's such a hurtful thing. Death in general is something that should be respected, whether, no matter what your beliefs are about like the afterlife or religion or stuff like that. Like, someone passing away, especially when they're in so much pain that they kill themselves, should not be open to entertainment. It just shouldn't be.
Right.
So I think this was an important episode, and I want to thank you guys for listening to us talk about it. We will be back on tomorrow. Okay.
Before you go into the plug, I think it's important to say that,
sure,
like, I know for a fact everyone at this table has struggled with depression. I know myself for sure have struggled with suicidal thoughts, and it is important to know that there are people out there who care. There are people out there who will miss you. And yeah, that doesn't help to hear. And like, personally, I'm not I've said it before and I'm a total hypocrite for saying it, but like, I don't like the whole like, ask for help thing. Because when you're that far down the road and it's that, and it seems like that much of a viable option, you're past the point of asking for help. You don't want to ask for help. It is up to you, the listener, that if you think there is someone in your life that is struggling, you need to be the one to reach out. you need to be the one that just, you know, oh, just wanted to say hi. Hey, how are you doing? Like, you need to be aware of that. And it's hard. And, you know, you don't want to approach it as just like, you're not going to kill yourself, are you? Like, cause that's not how you do it. But it is important. If you think that you can and you want to ask for help, please do. Absolutely do. There are people who will help you. There are people who care about you. And at the same time, like, if you're noticing that you have a friend or an acquaintance or a coworker or someone that is close to you and you think that they're having a hard time, it's okay to just check in.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, it's something that I have so many friends that I haven't talked to in months. And it's not because I don't think about them. It's not because I don't like them. It's just like, I have the mental block of like, I don't really have anything to say. Like, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, still doing the show, still.
Yeah, pretty much cool. The exact same place. Yeah.
Like, it's something that I want to be, better at of just, you know, like, oh, hey, just, you know, want to say, cause I feel like I'm bothering people.
Right.
Cause it's that thing where it's like, I don't want to just say hi because like, okay, hi. What do you want? Mm-hmm. So it's, but you know, it is appreciated when it happens. So, you know, I'm not trying to blame anyone that has like these depressive thoughts and wants to just withdraw and not ask for help, because I have been there. I totally get it. Like, when I was at my lowest, I did not want to talk to people. Right. It was literally my roommates that saved my life because they saw something was wrong. And so, you know, you don't need to be like super vigilant. You don't need to be hyper aware, but just, you know,
the smallest thing can help.
The smallest gesture can mean literally the world to someone.
Right.
So just, and it goes to just that whole, like, just be kind to each other.
Yeah. Don't be shitty.
And there are signs of someone that is having those thoughts and having those thoughts more seriously. And a lot of the time it has to do with they start changing things, in all honesty. And one of the scariest things is that they can actually seem happier because of whatever reason. Because
they let go.
Right.
They start changing things. Giving away possessions. Sometimes it's a major appearance change, haircut, hair color. And so you don't want, if you do notice something like this, you don't want to just kind of bring up like, oh, so you changed your hair? Please don't kill yourself. That's not right, what you want to do. But if you are seeing these signs, if you see someone going through, they're changing their appearance, or they give you something that means a lot to them for what appears to be no reason, try and just talk to them more.
Community, the Dungeons and Dragons episode, it literally is based around the character Fat Neil. Jeff thinks he's gonna kill himself because he kind of noticed that he was down, or like he noticed that, you know, there were certain things that were getting to him more than usual, and everybody else just kind of laughed it off, but he noticed, and so he kind of tried to befriend him, and then Neil gives him all of his Dungeons and Dragons books, and he's like, okay, that's something's up, and then they play the game
I'll say this on a personal level, since you guys are being personal and talking about stuff. So I made no secret. I don't hide like my depression. I was diagnosed as being clinically depressed in high school and re-diagnosed years later after, you know, I had been down for a long time. If you're out there and you are depressed and you have those thoughts, but if you're saying to yourself, well, I would never kill myself. Like, yeah, I'm depressed, but I would never kill myself. That's something I would never do. And you think you're beyond that and you're untouchable. You're not, because I myself, for the longest time, I kind of embraced that depression. And in a lot of ways, I felt like it made me more of who I am, because I used that darkness like to write or to create. And I thought I was attached to it, and I thought it was part of who I was. And I always said I would never kill myself. Like, I don't understand why people could do that. In the past year and a half, it's gotten to a point where just a couple of months ago, as I was sitting around thinking about it, as I always do when I'm left alone, that I can see why somebody would kill themselves. You know, I came to a point where I thought, man, either you hit the reset button on life or you don't have to feel this pain anymore. God, wouldn't it be nice not to feel this pain anymore? And it was that point I got scared, like legitimately scared, because I never felt that way before. And I still think about it. And the fact that I'm at that point where I think that that could be a thing that I would consider when I was so against it for so long, like, that terrifies me. And if you're holding on to it going, well, that's not me, I mean, it could be you. So if you can get help, get help. Don't be afraid.
And there's no shame in it.
No, there, like, there shouldn't be. People like, may try to shame you, but don't listen to them.
Yeah, those people are monsters and
yeah.
do not matter to you. Like, it sucks if it's a family member or someone that you, like, very much care about or love, but if they are giving you a hard time because you are dealing with something that they don't understand, that is entirely on them. And yeah. there are people that are understanding
right.
and that will be supportive. And it may kind of suck to have to, like, cut ties with someone like that, but especially someone who's close to you. But there are people who understand and who can empathize.
And it's an old thing that my mom used to say. I'm not going to get it exactly right, but, you know, it's one of those things that if someone would treat you that way, if someone would talk to you that way, then they're not worth being friends with. They're not worth talking to. It's true. It may suck and hurt if it's someone you love, but if that's the way that they're going to treat you and something that affects you so much, they clearly don't actually care about you. Mm. Like, that, there's something wrong with them, not you, and you really do have to cut that stuff out of your life if you're ever going to get better. You can't surround yourself with that kind of stuff and just assume you are going to be able to handle it, because I assumed I could handle it. I assumed that no matter what happened in life, I lost my mom, lost my dad, went through a terrible breakup with someone that I was with for 10 years. I endured all of these terrible things and I was strong enough to get through it. But eventually it will catch up to you. No one is stronger than that. And you should not be so arrogant as to think that you are. Or else you might find yourself one day, you're alone, it's gotten to a point you can't think about anything else, you've got access to it, and you just do it because your brain told you at the moment it's something you should do.
And if you are depressed or you are dealing with that, it's not you. One of the scariest things is thinking that without your depression, you're not you. No, you are you without your depression. That is you at your truest form. And however you need to get back there, whether it just be talking to someone or medication, you are you at your truest form is whenever you are not eyes deep in depression. Because it's not something that you should hold on to and sit in, whatever, because there are times, there are events in your life that can encourage depression in you, things you go through and all of that, and sitting in it, saying that it is you, is damaging, and just trying to block it out is also damaging, but there are things that you can do, and one of the most harmful things to yourself, I think, is labeling yourself as your mental illness.
Or saying that you're the worst, or saying that it's my fault and stuff like that, because I did that. I said these things were my fault, that these things are this way because I'm awful. And it started half jokingly. It started as, oh, I'm embracing it, because you learn, you know, you turn into the skit. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to let it beat me. I'll make jokes about it. I'll say it's me. But at some point, if you're anything like me, you stop and wonder, is it though? Like,
yeah, once you keep, like, telling yourself something, even if you don't mean it,
you start to believe
those thoughts are still there. And it sucks too, because your brain is such an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, the part of you that's broken is the part of you telling you, no, like, this is normal. This is what everybody feels all the time. This is why I'm the worst. but it's not. You're like, it's not true. You just can't. And there's, again, like, it's such a complicated thing. We're kind of, like, simplifying it, but it's,
oh, it's super complicated.
It's so, like, and it's that thing too where it's so easy to get discouraged, because, like, it can take people months of finding the right medication. And that's the thing too, because, like, not every antidepressant or whatever, like, not every medication, no medication reacts the same way between the same two people.
Right.
And dosage is a big part
of it.
Dosage
is a huge factor. The actual, like, and so it can, and the problem is it takes so long for these drugs to enter into your system that it takes a while for the effects to really kind of show themselves. So by the time that, oh, this isn't working, you're still going to have to deal with that as you adjust to try to find the right place. And so, and like, I think the most important thing to know is that it is work. There is no magical pill that will make it go away. There is no talking to someone for an hour every week will not just make it go away. You have to put in the work. You have to make it. It's not the whole like, well, have you tried not being depressed?
Right.
It's not that at all. But you do have to.
You have to want it.
You have to want it, and you do have to work towards it. But the thing is it's doable. You can. It doesn't matter who you are. Like, I'm not saying this as like a general statement. I'm like, or to like an individual, just like, it is beatable. It is doable. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be quick. And some of it's going to suck. But you have to know that for every step backwards, because it's easy to lose sight of it's easy to just get lost in noticing your setbacks. It's important to note the baby steps that you're taking. Even if it's just, oh, I took a shower today.
Yeah.
Even if it is like, I had this thought and I told someone, or I talked to someone, or I told myself like, no, I know that's not true. And those are the tiniest victories that will eventually add up, and it does get easier. And while, yes, it is, I do think it's possible to, I don't recommend it at all, but I think it is possible to do it on your own. But there is zero shame. There is nothing wrong with talking to a professional, having medication. Like, I love the thing that I keep seeing of, it's like, if you can't make your own dopamine, store-bought is fine. Like, I love that because it's true. It's an illness. It's not your fault. It's nothing that you have done that is causing this. It's just, you have an illness and it's treatable.
And how frustrating, I know, Ali, you have something, I just want to mention this before I lose it. How frustrating is it that it's your brain? It's your brain telling you things that you know aren't true. It's almost like you feel like different people. It's like you feel like there's different things inside of you that are pulling you in different ways. And before I get back to Ali, I wanted to say one last thing, and then I'll stop talking about this before I get crazy. One thing I absolutely hate is when I see people talk about depression and people that try to compare. When if you were to say, I didn't take a shower yesterday, I couldn't get out of bed to do it, and then someone else would say, that's not depression, dude. I'm depressed. I have a knife that I cut myself with.
They try to make it a contest.
Just because you don't react differently to depression doesn't mean you're any less depressed than anybody else. It's not a contest, and it's not a contest you want to win.
Right. That's like,
the way I handle my depression, if you know me, if anyone that knows me, they usually don't assume there's anything wrong with me because I have a successful show. I have a beautiful, loving girlfriend. I have friends and people that are around me, and I don't show it because I don't want to show it. But if you can't tell me I'm not feeling the way that I am because you don't know me all the time. And it's not something that anyone should ever feel like theirs is lesser than anybody else just because they don't follow the same pattern that somebody else does. If you see a meme online that says, here are the stages of depression, or here's how depressed I got, and you think, oh, well, see, I'm not that, so I'm not depressed. That doesn't count, man. You might be. Like, there are no rules for this, really.
Right.
Okay, Allie.
You're right. There's not a set pattern for... If you see these things, you're depressed. It's very much individualized to you. And kind of back to what Asa said, like, store-bought's fine. There was a post I saw that someone made, and I want to say that they were dealing with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, this is what I remember, so it's not a verbatim quote, but it's pretty close. And it said, I get so scared especially whenever I get an increase in a dosage of my medicine that I'm becoming too dependent on it. And then they realized, no, I'm not becoming too dependent on it. I'm using this so that I can be me. Because you don't tell someone with diabetes that they're too dependent on their insulin because their body doesn't make enough.
Right.
They need it. And my brain, for some reason, isn't making enough of what I need, and so I have to take my medicine to correct it.
I mean, sometimes I think I'm a little too dependent on oxygen. It's like, this shit is necessary.
Yeah.
We argued about this the other night. Because she said that, and I said, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, anything that can chemically alter the way I think will make me think that I'm not who I am normally. But it also gets to, and I'm not trying to say she's wrong. That's just, if you were to tell me flat out, take this, it'll make you feel better. You'll be you. I know who I've been for the past so many years. If you're telling me I'll think differently, then to me, that's not me. But in reality, that was me. It's just this new, this symbiote, this, parasite has changed me.
Right. It's kind of, and it's that thing where like, and change is scary. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone would agree at that, but like, it's that thing where, cause that is about, like, that's a valid fear of thinking like, well, that it's going to change who I am because you're so accustomed to like,
this is me.
Yeah. Because it's what you've known and it's what you've dealt with. And so that's just, it's harder to think that this isn't you because it's familiar. You know what it is. And so to think like, to think that this person that I know I am may not be the real me, I feel like I'm talking in weird circles.
No, you absolutely make sense because
the amount of times I'm said, but the times of like using like I am me and the real, like it's confusing me. But so once you kind of get that clearer image and you'll be able to look back and think like, oh, I see why I thought that.
Yeah.
That isn't. Because like there have been times like even recently where I've kind of like lashed out at somebody and been like in the moment just been super angry for no reason and just be like that's
not me.
Yeah, that's like that's not how that should have gone.
Right.
And so like this is just that on like a way bigger, way grander scale. And right. So eventually the familiarity of that not even I don't want to say new, but like the familiarity of okay, well this is the thought process now. This is who I am now. Like,
it's you trust. You'd rather be. Was it
the devil you know?
The devil you don't instead of the devil you don't. Yeah.
But at the same time too, like you have to look at like, are you the same person you were in college?
No, absolutely not.
So there's nothing wrong with
changing.
So I keep telling her, you're in college now. 10 years from now, you might look back and go, I don't even know that person anymore. And that's not good for your boyfriend.
Put it that way. But why?
Because what if he's not good enough for you anymore? Like, what if he doesn't get enough hits on the Podzilla show he hosts? Anyway, just to circle in here, all of the things we just said for the extra 20 minutes we just went about suicide and stuff like that, to me, that is why the Logan Paul video of a reaction being, oh, there's a fucking dead guy,
right,
is why he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because they took everything we just talked about in 20 minutes that you could talk about for hours and days about how people feel and what really affects them, and he turned it into a prop for a YouTube video.
Right.
And that's why he's a piece of garbage, and that's why we talked about it.
Right.
Okay, so with that out of the way, now comes the awkward part where I try to take it into a happier note, but
I'm not going to say it, like, and so, but it's just like, it's that thing where it's like, okay, break the tension, make a stupid joke, and I thought of one, and no.
Will you tell me after the show?
Maybe.
Okay. Tomorrow, we actually do have a very fun show planned for you guys on Pro Wrestling Unscripted because we will be doing our end of the year awards. We used to call them the Zillas. I don't know what we officially call them. We'll think of a name for tomorrow. Maybe it's the PW Zillas. Maybe it's the PZAs. Who knows? Yeah. We'll come up with a name for the award. But the point is, we did it last year. Myself, Allie, Asa, and Dalton. And we are going to present our nominees in the categories, which do we have those categories handy? Allie, you want to read those off for me? Okay.
We have the Best Superstar Male, Best Superstar Female, Best Tag Team, Best Promo, Best Feud, Match of the Year, Worst Moment, Best Event, Pay-Per-View, whatever you want to call it, Debut of the Year, Most Improved, and Best Moment.
Okay, and so we are going to each present our nominees tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We are also going to have honorable mentions because, as Asa said, some of these are so difficult to pick something that we want to mention the other ones.
Right.
And it's like what we did with CCW, except this will actually be ours.
Yeah,
we choose this one.
This isn't going to be like the fan vote. And this isn't going to be like a – because like everybody – we all have the category – and we all have our nomination.
Right.
So we're each coming, we're all four of us are bringing a nomination to the table. And then we're just going to have, it's not going to be a crazy debate. It's not going to get, if you listen to the one last year, it's one of the favorite shows we've
done. Very well, yeah.
It's just going to be, we're just going to talk about why we think our nominee deserves to be the one. And then we just kind of come to the round table consensus of who the winner is.
Right. And that'll be tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're also going to do CCW Live before that at 7:30 on Facebook. I don't know exactly what we're going to be talking about, but
I kind of like the format we did before. That we did before the November show.
We tear it up into individuals.
Yeah, we break it up. We break it like we do kind of a match by match breakdown and do, we just need to be better about how many matches there are and how many weeks before the show.
Yeah.
Because somebody.
We lost a
names
week.
Will not be named. Asa, you idiot, miscounted how many weeks there were when we were doing that teardown.
But we'll do that tomorrow at 7:30. That's on Cape Championship Wrestling's Facebook page. As always, myself, Allie, Dalton, and Asa, I assume, unless people are going to be gone. Allie, I'm looking at you.
I'll be here.
Okay. And then we'll have Pro Wrestling Unscripted after that. We'll post it later in that night, and we'll have fun there. Thank you guys for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. I really love doing these shows that are serious, that are things we want to talk, that I feel need to be talked about. They're not always the most fun. I get it. But if you're like me, sometimes you need to discuss these things, or you need to listen to people discuss these things. So if you stuck with us through this entire show, thank you so much. If you didn't, doesn't matter what I say at this point, you're not listening.
We still love you, though.
We still love you, Zane. No, Zane's still listening. He's going to send me a message tomorrow. Zane, if you're listening, I want you to send me a message tomorrow that is, send me a picture. What can I do? I want you to send me a picture.
Send him a picture or a GIF of Happy Rusev Day.
Okay, fine. Do that. I'll see you guys tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Have a great night.